Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
It is hour two of the Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday, and we have tremendous guests coming up in hour two, same as we did in hour one. And outside of a few very specific storylines that are developing, we had Travis Ryer on. Ty Simpson named starting quarterback. Outside of something like that, I have gotten a lot less return on my investment of time in spring practice. In particular, this year, and I realize now, last year, there's always a lag. I was like, am I doing something wrong? I've got a list of every team in the ACC and SEC, and then you work out from there. Let's be honest. I don't talk Pac-12 much. So I do nothing with Oregon State in the spring, and I mean almost ever, except this year. I was like, wait a minute, DJU's there. All right, I got to look at literally, I would look at Oregon State, go, well, that's one team. I'll get to you in August. And this year, I'm like, oh man. So, but it's ACC and SEC, and I've told you what's the blue sky, you know, whatever. So along with the blue sky, I say last weekend I was starting with Syracuse and Wake Forest, and then I went to FSU and had a takeaway there that whatever FSU did against Clemson wasn't going to be as impactful, good or bad, as what they did against LSU. So, and that turned into a Clemson takeaway. I thought it was going to be a Florida State topic. It was a Clemson takeaway. Well, part of what I do as well is in spring, like, I've got 10 questions for you, and there are some. Do you know what my questions was last year for the Georgia Bulldogs? One of my 2020 for LSU, it was a little different. 2022, last year going into the season, one of my questions was, how are they going to replace their punter? They had Jake Camarda, who was maybe the best punter in America. Maybe the best. I think Kirby Smart said he's the best college punter he's ever. We talked to Jake, to Kirby at Media Days, and he was like, oh, I think he said the best punter Kirby's ever seen. And he's leaving. I was like, all right, how are you going to replace him? Isn't that kind of a rich man's problem? And that, you know, poor man wants the oyster, rich man wants the pearl. Kirby, what's your issue? I just can't get a punter to average more than 39.9 on net now. Just can't do it. So I had questions. I had the same number of questions for Georgia as I did anybody else. They were just different questions, and that's kind of indicative of things. And so when we're talking, looking around the ACC, for instance, looking around the SEC, I'm saying going into spring, I've got all of these teams, and then we'll go Ohio State and Michigan and Texas. You know, we'll spread out a little bit, but not all 131. And so we're a week in, and Missouri's done, and Arkansas starting, and Florida State's on break now. And so everybody's at different spots. But the point is, in February, first week of March, everybody, here's like 8, 9, 10 questions somewhere in that realm. And last year, at the end of spring, I realized I went through like team by team. I realized I have not answered many of these. And this past weekend, that's part of what I was doing. I said, it's like we got a week left in March. We've already had a couple of games. And I'm going over my yellow legal pad team by team. And I'm like, all right, so what questions are remaining? And I'm looking, I'm like, well, all right, for this team, all of them. Well, they've only had 7 practices. I'll use, like, my team, Auburn, and I mentioned this yesterday. So all of this is, like, when I have Travis Ryer on, I mean, all we're doing, like, we're going to have Ty Richardson on. I'll ask Ty about Arkansas and spring practice and how's KJ Jefferson looking? Who's going to take over? Is anybody in the running back room actually practicing hard because they got five and they love them all? There are all these things we can talk about. I don't know that there are any real answers. And so, and there are fewer than ever before. So after last year's spring practice, I looked at my list of questions and I was like, I wasn't paying attention. I got to drill down next year. I have way too many. Nope. It wasn't me. We had Travis Ryer on, and I want to ask him about the quarterback position. I was like, you didn't tell me anything about the quarterback position. Nothing to tell. He didn't tell me about a new look in the secondary. He's not going to tell me that because there's nothing to it. It's spring. And so what happened last year when I realized, dang, I ain't getting answers. That is now what it is by design. And so I had brought this up earlier in the week that there seems to be, again, I can't just be coincidence, but what questions are still remain? All of them. And so when I got to that point after last year, I was like, well, I got to be more diligent or what? No, I'm doing the exact same thing. And I'm realizing this year, here is the perfect example of it. I am realizing this year, it wasn't me last year. It was, and I love my program and my head coach, that this is almost kind of funny. Unless he winds up starting, Lord knows. But I said yesterday, this is what spring practice is now. The head coach complains that nobody's playing quarterback. Everybody's got to get better. And receivers, too. They all got to get better. And he's right. A week later, coach, did the quarterbacks get better? I think what Hugh Freeze said was the third string guy who doesn't do all the things that Hugh Freeze really wants his quarterback to do and has never really played. I think what Hugh Freeze said was in response to how the quarterback, well, that guy tried harder. That guy has improved since last week. That was his response to tell me that the third string guy who's never played, who I don't think fits his plan, his first comment about quarterbacks. What's Hugh Freeze about? Quarterbacks. What's the one little fun nugget you could give me something about a quarterback? He's like, hey, Holden Greiner. He's Holden Greiner. He's competing and he's improving. And boy, he looks better than he did 7 days ago. So that's kind of spring in a nutshell. There are big picture topics. It is, what about the return from injury? Because now, even more so, you hold players out. So it's the return from injury. What is the projection for that? You see a lot of examples. Who was it? We were talking Kendall Milton, that he's out for spring. If they had a game next week, he would probably play in the game. But he's a running back, an upperclassman, so no need for this. I talked about in Baton Rouge. They have like two running backs and six offensive linemen, so they can't do anything. They have more than two running backs and six offensive linemen. It's not like they got people lined up on gurneys just off the side of the field. Well, you have to be at practice anyway. That's not what it is. It's that it's spring, and the coaches are starting to declare more and more about spring that it is strictly about newcomers. I would like to see them and get an eye on them. But as far as deciding anything on a two deep, The transfers, yes, I would like to. It's not just this is how we line up, this is how we stretch. It's like we got to dump all of this on them because they're brand new and they've got less of an opportunity. So we're all going to practice. We're all going to be here together. This is a way, way different feel now. So, again, we're going to have Ty Richardson on in about 5 minutes or so. Matt Jones, one of my favorite guests to ever have on for any of the programs, bottom of the hour, Kentucky Sports Radio. And there is, I'm going to ask him about the Mark Stoops cut that we played ending hour one. Because he referenced it. He said there was some creep. That's the same word I've used. He said it was kind of this slow little ooze of above average into the program. And he said, I should have spoken up earlier. I want to know specifically what he's talking about. Was it strength and conditioning? Was it attitude? Was it effort? Was it pride? Was it a little too chest out and for the wrong reasons? So we'll have Matt Jones on and found out all about, but that was the cut we were playing from Mark Stoops, and we will have a little insight for you. All that more next on this Thursday on Chuck Oliver Show.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Thursday on the Chuck Oliver Show. All week, all year, it's all college football. Dealing with out across nine states. 60 sticks. Thanks for the blessing. There are individuals you meet sometimes that just strike you properly so, like almost like with Mark Richt, like Preacher Man. Or somebody that is just a really gentle sounding individual and like just a really genuine guy that everybody likes, like Sam Pittman. And then there's the reality to every single one of those guys that you meet, like Bobby Bowden, every one of them. Folks, under the right circumstances, after the correct string of shortcomings, I've seen Sam Pittman like grow to be 9 feet tall and have horns for like just a few seconds. Not like Bobby Petrino, who's just mean and scowls and like kicks golden retriever puppies just for fun. No, but I'm saying every coach, when he gets pushed to that point, they've got the competitive streak in him. And Sam Pittman has not been so super duper pleased with spring at all times, or last season, et cetera. So there's a lot to talk about. KJ Jefferson and 50 great running backs. That they have on the roster there and a lot on offense, and who will they replace at wide receiver? I don't think that's where it starts. I think it starts on defense. We have Ty with us now. Ty Reddy, fantastic. We're going to have a good friend of the program right now. Always love talking to him when it's time to talk Hogs. Morning Drive, also PD, ESPN Arkansas. It is Ty Richardson. Ty, how you doing on this Thursday?
Chuck, I'm great, man. Got a big weekend in Oaklawn playing at the Arkansas Derby, so we're going to have a swell weekend with the Final Four attached.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about Sam Pittman and just that side of the personality that I mentioned there, because, you know, I mean, whether it's Tommy Bout, I've seen David Cutcliffe go off on people before. when you do it wrong enough times in a row, and Sam Pittman has that as well, and he's been kind of candid. Now, he'll come back and he'll say, I probably shouldn't have said that. But he's got that fiery part that we just don't see on SEC Network during media days.
Yeah, and I think players at a certain point tune it out and they don't listen. And younger guys, they're like, well, the coach is just yelling at me. Older guys are actually listening to the message themselves, and that's something you just get with maturity, something I've had to learn. It's like, my boss isn't yelling at me or giving constructive criticism to be a you-know-what. He's doing it to get better. And, I mean, every coach has to have a little fire. If you don't have a little fire, man, you're probably not a good enough coach to coach D1 college football.
So let's start on defense. I said there's so much, and they got five running backs, and KJ Jefferson's a monster and all this stuff. Those are all right answers. Let's go on the other side. We're only going to talk defense this time. Pass rush specifically, because at least it was there last year. Well, Drew Sanders is going to be playing for the Lions or Chargers or somebody. Where's the pass rush going to come from, and is it like everybody else, hey, we went to the portal?
Hey, yeah, exactly right. Trajan Jeffcoat, yep. John Morgan, they got the transfers that Pittman's been talking about this week. You got to have it in the SEC. I mean, in order to have success against elite offenses in this league, you got to get pressure with four. Arkansas, well, you mentioned the sack total, that was all blitzes. That was Sanders wrecking havoc. That wasn't, for the most part, defensive lineman outside of Jordan Dominick, who is now a Colorado Buff. So got to be able to do it, and hopefully some of these transfers will eat offensive lines alive in the Southeastern Conference.
There are also players new to the program that aren't transfers. They're high school kids who are early enrollees. He's mentioned a couple of linebackers there, Antonio Gregg, Carson Dean. Are those just spring names and guys running around because there are reps to get in spring? Or are there maybe, hey, we were bad last year, so there really is a chance for anyone?
I think that Chris Paul and Greer, the kid out of South Florida, are going to be the mainstays. And some of the other guys might get cracked. But, Chuck, you've been doing this a lot longer than me. You're just trying to motivate kids, true freshmen, maybe sophomores in some cases, that might not play a lick in the year, but you don't want them to give up. You don't want them to stop working out, stop losing that competitive firepower. So the names, I mean, every other coach in college football does it. You do it so the kid's like, man, maybe I do got a shot. I got to keep working. And the reality of this situation, they'll probably stick to their core guys come come fall. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe true freshman plays. But that Luke Haas kid out of Tulsa, I expect him to play. Maybe Jalen Braxton, the kid out of Frisco. But outside of those, I think it's asking a lot to see a bunch of true freshmen get on the field this year consistently at least.
Let's stay in the secondary because there's been some injury stuff too, and maybe some guys coming back, but maybe some of the guys getting hurt too. Quincy McAdoo, what is his status? Because I like him, I think.
He's a good player, man. He can play both ways at a small high school in Arkansas. He's dealing with some stuff. Some other guys are nicked up. I don't think it'll be there by season, the beginning of the season, but they're just resting some guys and keeping them out in certain drills and certain practices because, I mean, you know as well as I do, Chuck, this team got depleted by injuries last year, and I think Pittman's just doing his best to make sure that doesn't happen in 2023.
Yeah, maybe the best player on the whole team, certainly the back end, out so dang early, like week two or three. I want to ask you about one more kid, just general impressions, Dwight McLaughlin, because he was a kid at LSU, and I know you and I have talked about him before. I was like, they really liked him down there. Where is he now after a season in Fayetteville?
Mr. Nudie, he didn't allow a touchdown until the Liberty game, which of all games, that's the one you do, which is kind of odd. But he's probably their best quarterback. Now, they brought over a couple kids from Baylor, brought the kid from Georgia, five-star out of high school. So there'll be some competition there. But, I mean, Nudie showed up. Now, he talks a little bit. He chirps a little bit. But he was able to back it up this season, and they're hoping he even expands his game a little more this year.
What is going, and this is just like maybe just housekeeping or accounting, because I've always said running backs in spring, if I already know about you, go ride the bike, you know, go do the stationary bike. I don't need you to get hit. What's going on at running back? Who's getting the carries? Because they actually have one kid coming back from injury, sort of. How are they splitting the football up?
Yeah, so Rocket's going to be the main guy, and then Rashad DeBinion, who's close to your neck of the woods, A.J. Green, speedster out of Tulsa. They're adding Isaiah Augustave, who's an outstanding running back, I think, out of Florida. And then Dominique Johnson's the one that you referred to coming off that ACL injury. I would expect him at some point this season to be the goal line down back. It's just you hope he gets back to form because as a true freshman, he was a wrecking ball, Chuck, and they're just hoping he can get back into what they saw in his initial year at Arkansas.
What are they doing with him during the – not with him, with the running backs during the spring? Because that's always a weird position in spring because they – if you get the slightest injury, they're like, nah, we'll hold you out. We're good.
Yeah, they'll green some guys. You're going to see less Rocket all spring. And we're fortunate enough to see a little bit of practice, but not a lot. Going through drills and whatnot, they'll keep them in sub stuff, keep them others, thud. The younger guys and the older guys are going to hold out. But, I mean, that's a position that you just – like it's become quarterback almost, Chuck, as you're referring to. You almost just – you want to coddle them and not really touch them until games actually start.
Last thing, just any – have y'all had any exposure with Dan Enos? I don't even know, does Coach Pittman let the assistants or the coordinators talk?
So, you got a chance to talk with Coach Enos, I think a week or so after he got hired along with Travis Williams, and I can't remember if it was Deron Wilson or Marcus Woodson, the one of the other assistants. I think it was Woodson that also got a chance to speak. But most of the time, it's you get them before the season and after season. It's not really in season at all. Coach Pittman does two press conferences in addition to his SEC teleconference stuff. So I don't know how much we're going to get a chance to talk with Enos between now and then. He did have a good impression on a lot of people, and just hoping that KJ Eno's connection is good in this offseason, leading to a strong offensive output this year.
Ty Richardson, good friend of the program. I'll say good friend of mine, too. Appreciate your time, amigo.
Absolutely, man. See you guys in 3 months of media days.
All right, brother. Ty Richardson, we will touch down in Nashville. Absolutely. So there you go. It's spring out there just like everywhere else. And what they're doing with the running backs is – trying to make the absolute most of just an elite collection. They don't have, I mean, Rocket Sanders is good. I think AJ Green's good enough to start a lot of places and really be a star. Rocket is good enough to be a first team all SEC sort of guy. And so they're trying to make the most of that by maybe helping somebody come back from injury, maybe by giving a younger guy, a true freshman enrollee, a lot more run in spring and a chance to be around a guy like KJ Jefferson. So there is a lot of advantage there, but The truth is, when it comes to Arkansas, it is harder than ever, and you are now countdown 9 months from it getting even more so, because they're kind of in your backyard. That at least this is a real, it's not as hyper aware as they are in College Station of it. But in Arkansas, there's a similar dynamic to what went on with Texas A&M when they said, we don't want Texas and OU. That's in your backyard. And that if nothing else, you're in the same living room, which didn't always happen with Arkansas, recruiting the same kids and getting them to Texas and Oklahoma. Didn't happen enough. But when you would be, at least if nothing else, you could look at the kid and go, we're in the SEC. That was the crux of Texas A&M's complaint. Said, wait a minute, now we can't say that about Texas. Now, at least we could always say that. So it's about to get even more difficult. Could always say, well, OU says they're a better program, and they've talked about national championships, and they were in the Rose Bowl, and you lost six games. We're in the SEC. You want to play against the best. You want to play on the biggest stages. Play against the most fans. Most NFL scouts, most NFL draft picks, big, all of it, everything, biggest, best, most, everything. And Arkansas could say, we're that, they're not. It's the same reason Texas A&M, wait a minute, Longhorns, are we sure we want to do this? And Greg Sankey said, yeah, we all talked, we're all sure, so you're going to be sure too. So it's about to get even more difficult for Sam Pittman. So you do get to see that side of his personality sometimes. And he was showing, they started spring practice and he didn't like what the pace was. And they went away for a week and a half and have come back now. And so he says it's a little bit better right now, but he's been kind of grousing. And it's similar to what we were talking about with Mark Stoops earlier in the program, that if you were to go back like 12 months, maybe you felt a little better about where you were as a program versus where you are right now. One big difference is you got Jefferson coming back, and Mark Stoops, for all the talent that Devin Leary is, he's got to come back from injury, and he's got to come back on a new campus. So advantage Arkansas, but, I mean, you're not really in competition with one another. Not yet. Not until you do away with the divisions. But you were in a lot better position 12 months ago, you thought, and that you're now 12 months away from competing also with Texas and Oklahoma. So about to get a lot more difficult for the Hogs.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
9 states, 66. Thank you all so much for the blessing. Been doing this since the beginning of the 2014 season. Appreciate it. Chuck Oliver Show, talking college football. So I'm not going to rat anybody out here, but there was a, this is a Power 5 program. It's Conference USA, so what it is. And, hey, Chuck, when you get here this season for the first time, because that's when I was doing CUSA games, we got a new indoor practice facility. I was like, well, that's high cotton. And I was like, all right, I'll be there like week three or whatever. I was like, can't wait to see it. And I showed up and I walked in and it was like a 60-yard field and you couldn't do placement kicks. I was like, yeah, it was awesome. Like, you didn't get rained on. That was their practice facility. That's not what a practice – first of all, to function, that's not what a practice facility is, but that ain't what you show recruits. Not today. So there's practice, like spring practice stuff we'll actually talk about with Matt Jones, but we're also going to talk like big picture facilities and Kroger Field and the Nutter Field House and everything going on as well. Big picture, the flyover conversation with Kentucky football with Matt Jones. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. How are you, Chuck?
I'm good. Let's talk about how they're spending that money. Field house renovations. Have you ever, like, you've walked into a field house before and they're like all chest out and proud of it, and I looked at it like a weight room sometimes. I'm like, this is not what it really is today. How is it at Kentucky? Because there was some catch up to do and they might have done it.
When they finish the renovations, it will be very good. It was, they've had a field indoor for a while. The problem was they shared it with the track team. And so, and Kentucky has a very, very good track team. And the issue was that, like, right outside the end zone was a track, and it was kind of dangerous when they were doing end zone plays sometimes because guys could hit the track and slide. That's getting fixed. They're building a new track facility. Then they'll have the whole place for themselves for football. And it, at that point, will be kind of on the level of the SEC programs that have them. And so they're close. I mean, listen, in 10 years ago, Kentucky had, next to Vandy, the worst facilities in the SEC, and it wasn't even close. Now they have a stadium that's, you know, not the nicest in the league, but in the vicinity. I think they might have the nicest practice facility outside of maybe Alabama and Tennessee. And then they have another, this indoor will also be kind of state of the art. And, you know, the story came out this week that they're paying their assistant coaches top 10 money in the country. I mean, that's something I never would have imagined would happen here. They've kept their defensive coordinator, Brad White. When schools like LSU have tried to hire him, they've kept him. And then they just brought in their offense coordinator back from the LA Rams. So I think the sort of off-the-field stuff that you need to have a successful program at Kentucky is at its highest level it's been in my lifetime, and I don't see any reason that won't continue.
All right, a little housekeeping, and I don't even get into, like, the salacious stuff, but this was public. Vito Tisdale was a grown man now. He's going to be a senior, and he's going to play a lot of football, was the idea as a safety. He was at that party a couple years back, and I'm not trying to dismiss it, but everybody's read the story, and there was even an outcome. But now he's dismissed. Just talk about how that affects the two deep, because my understanding was, hey, he's going to play a lot of football in 23.
He would have played quite a bit. He would not have been a starter, but he would have played. It's a loss. He's been somebody I don't think they've ever been certain they could rely on since he got here. He's very talented, but he's had injuries. He's had off-the-field stuff. So I wasn't shocked. I was disappointed with the news. He's from Kentucky, and he's a good kid. Well, I think he's a good kid at heart. I think he makes a lot of poor decisions. But I, you know, as far as the football side, it wasn't going to be a starter. I think it would have been nice for the two deep to have him. But they should be okay. Probably means they go into the portal after spring practice and try to find another person at that position. But yeah, it's a loss. But, you know, in the grand scheme of losses with that team that had the injuries they had last year, it doesn't register with some of the stuff they've dealt with in the past couple of years.
Yeah, and I want to talk, like, big picture, because I want to go back. I want you to tell me what Mark Stoops is talking about, because I didn't get any follow-up questions. I was listening to him Saturday. I guess it was this past Saturday. He had a scrimmage, and he was a bunch of hornets walking off the field. And he made a big picture comment. There was something along the line. I'm trying to remember something along the lines of, there's stuff I should have spoken up about a long time ago.
He was on the show with me this morning. So he was on with me this morning.
Oh, wow.
We talked about that.
He said last winter. Like, what was the creep that was coming into the program?
Well, I mean, so here's the thing. They lost in the offseason. Will Levis, Chris Rodriguez, who was a four-year starter, DeAndre Square, who's a four-year starter, Jaquez Jones, Jordan Wright. They lost some guys who were not only really good players, but had been vocal leaders since they were young kids. And I think he had hoped that a lot of these young guys would step into those roles because they've got a lot of young talent. They got the most young talent I've ever seen here, like top-level talent. And I think he was hoping some of those guys would come in and have the leadership that they've had for some of those dudes I just mentioned for the last 3 or 4 years. And I think he was been a little disappointed that that hasn't happened. today he said something like, probably wasn't as bad as I said it. That's just kind of how I am. I say how I feel in the moment, but I also am correct. I mean, I also still believe some of these guys have got to. I think here's what I think he thinks. He's got they probably had the best true freshman class they've ever had here. They had two freshman All-Americans last year. I don't think that's ever happened at Kentucky in my lifetime. They probably got another seven guys that were true freshmen last year that are going to start this year. I think he thinks some of those guys who are immensely talented maybe haven't been working as hard as he thinks they should and have taken their early success for granted, and he's trying to stop that from being an issue going forward.
All right, let's go up, because I'm going to ask you about, you know, Leary's connection with the two twitchy freshmen or now sophomore receivers, but I want to know up front something. Like, every program, they have a version of, like, that just 300 pounds of meanness that wants to chew your kneecaps off at you know, offensive line. To me, that's Logan Stenberg, and he wasn't a perfect player, but he was mean. Who's that guy? Who's that thumper? Who's that puncher?
Well, their offensive line was awful last year, which is why, for your listeners that are listening trying to figure out if they think Will Levis should go in the top five, I would pick Will Levis number one, but I certainly wouldn't pick him lower than three behind Young and Stroud. He had the worst offensive line maybe in the SEC, maybe one of the five worst in Power Five, which is crazy because Kentucky had an awesome offensive line. But here's the thing you have to remember. In Kentucky's history, they had only had seven players drafted off their offensive line in history, and they had seven drafted in the last two seasons. So they basically had more offensive line talent in the last 2 years than they'd had in the program's history before. So you lose those guys, and they just weren't able to replace them, and last year they stunk. Now, they go out and get a kid from Northern Illinois as a transfer that I think will be an NFL draft pick. They were able to move guys to their more natural positions, and I think there's still a chance they add another guy in the portal as well. It'll be a lot better this year. I don't know if there is a dude outside of the Northern Illinois kid whose name is Marcus Cox. Marcus Cox, by the way, last year played against Kentucky and ate them up. Like, if you go look at that tape, he destroyed Kentucky's defensive line. So they just went and decided, why don't you come play here instead? And he'll be the anchor of the offensive line and will be the left tackle. And they need that. I think they'll be much better this year at offensive line than they were last year.
Well, they did lose a lot of talent. Luke Fortner, like, he started every, like, day one in the
NFL.
Well,
I mean, think about it. They had Luke Fortner, who started at center for a playoff team every game. Darian Kennard was playing for the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, you know, last year. Then you go back the year before, Logan Stenberg that you mentioned. They had Landon Young, who starts for the Saints. I mean, so in 2 years, they had four of their five starters were starters in the NFL this year. And they, you know, you lose all those guys at a place like Kentucky, they don't just regrow. And last year was just a terrible year for them on the offensive line.
All right. I want to ask just one quick question before I let you go. Where is Kentucky basketball-wise? Because I saw Alabama have a freakish amount of talent, and Tennessee decide to kind of like bully and brawl their way into the tournament and sort of try to make a run. Where's Kentucky right now, hoops-wise?
By the way, I was disappointed with the SEC. I thought the SEC in the tournament would be, I mean, they were, 8-1 in the first round, and then everybody sort of collapsed. But I think Kentucky, next year is judgment year for Cal. I mean, it really is. The fan base is frustrated. I don't think most of the fan base wants him gone, but I think they are like, we got to be good next year. He has the highest-rated recruiting class he's ever had. And you know, Chuck, he's had a lot of high ones. But he's got three of the top four players coming in. He's got four of the top eight, and he's got five of the top 20. If you can't win with that, then that's a problem. Now, I think they will. I think he's got the kind of players that he wants. Calipari plays a style that I think is kind of outdated. But if you're going to play the style he plays, he's got the perfect guys coming in, guys who can get to the basket and finish. DeJuan Wagner's son, DJ, Jeff Shepard's son, Reed, Aaron Bradshaw, who might be the first pick in the draft the year he comes out. Next year, and then they're going to bring back Antonio Reeves, who was the best shooter this year. next year is a, I'm not going to say it's a do or die year. It's hard to see them ever firing Cal, but for the fan base, it is a next year is the year, and they'll be back to what they were many years ago, which is a lot of talented superstar freshmen, and we'll see what happens.
Radio host, best-selling author, business owner, it's Matt Jones. Thank you, amigo.
Thank you, man.
Yes, sir. Matt Jones, Kentucky Sports Radio. Yeah, and he really is all those things. Calipari, by the way, this is not like we're going to, you know, like if Dabo all of a sudden said junior college, because we've seen that before. We've seen a coach who's never really gone that route be told you have to win right now. And he's like, hey, JUCO. And it's different. And they could, you know, whatever your path is, if that's what you're, if you, and you found success and have a track record, like Coach Snyder at Kansas State, you know what his track record was? Butler, how you doing? Neo, Northeast Oklahoma, how you doing? They all knew Coach Snyder. And they knew the way to Manhattan, Kansas. If it's not the way you do it, and suddenly you decide to do JUCO, you could have an influx of talent, but then just a real issue on your hands. And I mean, like, I don't want to say culture issue, because it's just a really different, it's a different locker room. It's a different feel. It's a different one and done, hire gun sort of thing. And at Kansas State, that was never an issue. If you decided in a save my job season, it was going to be what you did at Texas, it'd be, all right, well, how that relates to Coach Cal? This is not a, like, I've got to dive in and get all these super freshmen and somehow make it work. He prefers that. He got no, I'm sorry. He would love to have, like, Anthony Davis for, like, 5 years. But having a super freshman come in, play one outstanding season, and move on to the league, sure, let's do it. That's the arrangement. So this will not be a new experience for him. It'll be something he's done plenty of times before. And, again, at Kentucky, this is, it's an interesting time, big picture wise, sports wise, program wise, in Lexington, because the football program, there's no, you don't even have to set that up. You know the difference. He said they've had 7 offensive linemen drafted ever until 3 years ago. So basketball, a little different. So I bet between the ABA and the NBA, they've had 7 first overall picks, maybe. ABA and NBA, you have to include both of them. So that's what the basketball program is. Well, what are you right now? He just said, David, clip that. He just said Coach Cal is like, he got to take care of it this year, right now, because if you can't win with this class, and I'm like, well, I think he can, because this is kind of his route. This is what he does. So appreciate Matt coming on. We're going to break. Come back. Wrap up on this Monday next.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
I think LSU should be the favorite in the West. I don't know that they will be, because it's sort of a rite of summer. LSU returns more than what Alabama does. They have fewer question marks that have to be answered this offseason than what Alabama does.
Clay Topmeyer. Very good writer, by the way. USA Today, he was out at, I want to say, he was covering Missouri at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, I believe. And he may have been, maybe he's working USA Today then, but he was covering Missouri, I want to say, back in the day when we first started the program. And now he's a baller. Four-finger ring, like USA on one, Today on the other hand. USA Today, SEC columnist Blake Topmeyer, hanging out with the media elite. Where was that from, Dan?
Oh, a little podcast called The Southern Beat, episode 84.
84. Dan Baller, Dan. And you can get that. I think you can get that at thepodcastpark.com and a bunch of other podcasts as well, but Southern Beat. So he was talking with Blake Topmeyer, and he's making his conversation, his prediction there about LSU. And sometimes things are supposed to be easy, you know, hashtag Mac Jones. And when I say that, Mac Jones had been the, literally, of the recruits who were still with the program, if you take out the kicker, of the recruits who remained at Alabama, Mac Jones was the lowest ranked kid still in his freshman class that was at Alabama when suddenly he burst on and did that and got drafted in the NFL. And so somebody can emerge and can just be an unbelievably impactful player. on the surface, they got Jaden coming back, and Alabama's going to have a first-time starter. And he's going to be a really talented first-time starter, and he may be a dynamic first-time starter, and Flip Fields, and Jaden's played a whole lot of football, and is actually, he's at his best right now. There is a different version of Jordan Travis going on over there. A guy who was rounding out his game that you had seen. Now, Jaden had a lot of success early. He had an NFL receiver at Arizona State, and he's like, all right, I can do this, I think. And he also had a lot of dysfunction, and so like a lot of players and the coaches and the athletic director and a lot of people going to get on out of there. But it's supposed to be on its surface, well, they got this guy coming back and you don't. That's a good place to start. Even if Alabama has the answer, their next answer for the next two seasons at quarterback, I still don't know that it's any sort of advantage over LSU. Like, Jaden Daniels is a different sort of you know, level of player. And then everything else matters as well. But it starts there, and it is just a great. So I'm sure he can talk to other things about it, but that's where it would start with me. And when you know the level of talent around the LSU roster every single season. I've got that Word document I've talked about. It's about 38. I've went through and I've been deleting and kind of consolidating my half topics and quarter topics. And one of my little half topic quarter topics on this giant Word doc that I just kind of flow through forever. It's been open for 10 years. Stuff gets added and deleted is LSU by some stretch to me is the best opportunity for a good coach. That's not the best job. Didn't say was the best job. It says the best opportunity. The combination of available players, in-state diehard competition, other programs that really make your state a priority. There are a lot of eliminators that are kind of like it's the wart on a job, or at least it's the giant job. I want to be the Alabama coach. Part of it is I don't want to follow Nick Saban. Well, let's say you're following Mike Shuler, you know, whoever, Mike Price. That would be a whole different scenario. But I'm just talking about as far as fulfilling the job and succeeding and winning at that job and satisfying everyone at that job. Alabama's, because you got Auburn in state. And there are I'll give Gus credit. Didn't he start 3-4 against Saban? He had a lot of other failings. He's cracked that code literally as much as anybody. And so there's nothing in Louisiana. You're King Daddy. They won national championships with Les Miles and Ed Orgeron. You tell me I can't win one with Brian Kelly? I think it is the – so that's why I didn't say it's the best job. I said it's the best opportunity for a good coach. It's the best opportunity across 15 different measuring sticks. Just what it is. So I say all that. That's the general understanding of what that roster is going to be around whoever the quarterback is, virtually season in, season out. And this year, the roster around that quarterback's Jaden Daniels. So that's nothing but good in Baton Rouge. Dan, how's your Thursday?
Well, I mean, they also, too, to a some extent, at least under Ed Orgeron for a time, had kind of cracked the code that Kirby Smart finally did, and that was protect your own and then poach the others. I mean, that's what it was for the longest time. Is under Mark Richt, it was, hey, you're getting good players, but God, you are losing really the biggest ones to Clemson, to Auburn, to Alabama, to Florida State, whoever it might be. Whereas Kirby is now saying, no, anybody that gets out, I'm allowing to get out. It's kind of like what you said, speaking of us just talking with Matt Jones, John Calipari to, was it Mick Cronin or Sean, whichever one it was, where he
Cincinnati
said,
coach.
That's right. He goes, no, I let you have that player. That's why you got him. So it's a huge advantage. And, you know, you talk about it all the time, the recruiting advantages, the proximity. It's about executing it as well, and it's also, too, offending other people off. And I think that that's the recruiting strategy that you have to have is, number one, you have to say, we are going to kill it in this area of the country, which for LSU, it is that I-10 corridor of Baton Rouge in New Orleans. Nobody gets out, and Nick Saban sure as hell does not get in here and take anybody from us. We'll go up to Monroe. We'll do the same thing, and then we'll go over to Houston and get guys to come join us. And as long as you're able to crack that code, as you said, you put yourself in position to be able to win. Now, the next frontier for LSU, Chuck, is that C word, consistency.
Tremendous Thursday. David, spinning gold. Appreciate everything he does. Everybody listening, thank y'all for spending part of your 2 hours or all of your 2 hours. I appreciate it. I do. And then all the guests and everyone. We're going to take a 22-hour break. We will recharge batteries. Dan will work the digital Rolodex and just make magic there. And then we will all reconvene and talk more college football. So wherever you're listening, I appreciate you coming in. Come back in 22 hours, and there'll be more of the Chuck Oliver Show.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.